Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, hello.
Hello, ladies. We need to get the vibes up. We're exhausted. We've been doing our girl bossing podcast work.
Our ad reads, our two small ad reads that...
I feel exhausted. I feel like I've spent a day toiling the fields.
Well, Grace has already won Paloma down.
Yeah, Izzy was like, you're drinking that, like, you're fucking dying of thirst.
Yeah, the funny thing, obviously you guys hear our ads, but the funny thing with it is it's like, it's so impossible. I find it really impossible to keep my voice normal as soon as I'm reading anything. Even if I've written it myself, as soon as I'm reading, my voice just goes into like broadcaster mode.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. But it's funny because I think that kind of goes to show that we literally read nothing out for this podcast. It's all ad lib.
If we read anything, you would know, baby.
Maybe when I'm reading when I'm reading out the quotes off like an Instagram caption.
A teleprompter. Wait, so in like, I will not talk about this again. I probably will actually because the big episode's coming tomorrow. But in Real Housewives Reunion, there's this like villain called Diana Jenkins. And she's like at the reunion and she's so clearly reading off a cue card and it's so funny. And I was like, that would be us.
Yes.
You can just tell if someone's reading something, they literally cannot concentrate and say it authentically.
Yeah.
Which is why newsreaders are so impressive.
Yeah. And I also can't respond properly either because I'm thinking about what's coming next on my little prompter. Wait, I have something special to tell you that I just found out about this an hour before you got here.
Oh.
Okay. Rihanna.
Yes.
Hasn't released new music in 6 years.
Yeah, drop the album.
Her first single is coming as part of the Black Panther soundtrack on Friday.
God. And it's the first. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah, it's the first single she's released in 6 years. And the way they announced it was so iconic. They did like the Wakanda Forever logo and it flipped into Rihanna's iconic R logo. And everyone's losing their minds. And now she's trending on Twitter. And so that will come out the day the episode drops, you lucky girls.
Wow.
And then
our new theme song, whatever it is.
Yes. Furthermore, she is releasing her Savage Fenty Volume 4 runway show on November 9th.
Very exciting.
So I want to
watch
it party.
Watch it in real time.
Yeah.
Because I haven't watched in real time ever. I haven't actually sat and watched a whole one before, which
really?
I know is sacrilege.
I watch all three back to back in summer.
So special.
Yeah, very good. So that's the Rihanna news.
That's very exciting. I feel like her single will be good.
Same. You better fucking hope so.
A Black Panther song, it's going to be okay. Like, she doesn't have the vested interest in it being like her best song. So it's got to be a banger, but not like the banger.
Yes.
You feel me?
No, Umbrella, Ella, Ella, A.
It won't be Umbrella. What do you think is her best song?
Oh, I don't know. That's too hard.
I think it's Diamonds.
This is my brain on... I'm like, I can't even think of a single Rihanna song. But I got really into her last album when she was being like very, very sexy, but I can't think of the song, like her like kind of clubby songs, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Love on the Brain, when she'd sing that, such a gorgeous tune.
Actually, probably my favorite Rihanna song, if I'm being honest with everybody and myself.
Yeah.
We Found Love with Calvin Harris.
It's a fucking chokehold that music video that had on me.
Oh my God.
When I was like, whatever we were, 19, I was like, I just want a beautiful man to ruin my fucking life now.
If that song comes on now, I like lose my mind. But she just has so many bangers.
A working mom.
Yes. Yeah. She's working. And then the Super Bowl. We're going to have to watch the Super Bowl.
She's doing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a Super Bowl halftime performer next year.
Well, damn, her comeback is
strong. I know. She is giving.
Exciting.
Okay, we have a new prime minister over here. The third one in 3 months.
I can't deal. I have to say, and I know people are going to hate me and I hate myself. Like, part of me was like rooting for Boris to come back. Like, I don't want him back, but I'm like, it is a familiar face. A familiar face, and also the tale of everyone at work being like, I can do this better than you. And then...
they can't.
You being like, fine, go. And then this woman gets outlasted by a lettuce.
Yeah.
It's like a funny story. But I think they're all just kind of hideous.
It's all one and the same.
Yeah, these conservatives, it like really doesn't matter who it is.
And what's frustrating about Rishi Sunak, so he's the first POC prime minister, which when that... obviously, I know it's the first POC prime minister, but then when I heard that out loud, I was like, that is so crazy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I guess like Obama is like the only other...
yeah.
One in all these white countries.
Still hasn't even been a woman in America.
Yeah. But he is, he's a millionaire conservative who's anti-immigration, who's basically, it's like that thing where...
he was a Goldman Sachs investment banker.
Yeah, and then he married a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's richer than King Charles. But it's one of those things where because he's POC, to be like... included in the Conservative Party, he's had to be like, take that role of I'm like not like the others. So he's kind of come down harder on all these policies than even the white conservatives would dare to these days, because he's being like, no, I'm one of you, I'm not like with the POC. So it's just like worse, because it's just,
it's so true in the Conservative Party in general at the moment. Like, the gnarliest people are Priti Patel, Suella Braverman, and Rishi Sunak, and they're all like Indian descent.
Yeah, they're just being like, don't bully me.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It's like a crazy time. He's also a short king, which I really didn't expect. I was caught off guard
by this
news. He's 5'5", apparently. Yeah. He has tall energy. This is why I'm confused. I thought he was like a 6'3", like towering beanpole, like sexy guy.
It's because he's thin.
5'5" is
small.
It's on the short side.
It's very small. Have you seen the Gawker piece? How tall is Britain's new prime minister? And then, but also he's, not that I want to say anything really positive about him, but he's definitely the most stylish prime minister. He's wearing like Common Projects sneakers. I was like, okay, go off, daddy.
That is so great.
Have you heard Biden trying to say his name?
That's honestly, Biden needs to step aside. Biden can't even string a fucking sentence together. Not knowing the British, I get that there's been a few, but like the British Prime Minister's name, you need to know that.
Yeah, wait, I'm going to.
This should all be evidence in his impeachment hearing.
Play it, because it's so funny. Also, I saw this amazing thing on Twitter the other day where this journalist thought Charlie XCX...
news.
Who is cheering?
Chinook is now the prime minister.
Rasheen Chinook.
My brother would say, go figure.
What's he even saying with that?
He's just got like a crowd of like actual like crisis actors who are like paid to laugh at his insane ramblings. That was like him on 60 Minutes, and they were like, can you please just answer a question normally? And he was like, he sounded like he had an aneurysm.
Oh, yeah. I saw someone on TikTok running, and they were just like, didn't want to go for a run this morning, but played some words of motivation from Biden to get me running. And then it was like, yeah, you just, if you ever need to, and I.
What's wrong with him?
Wait, I saw this really funny Twitter the other day, and it was like 11 years since this journalist mistook Charlie XCX for Lord. And she goes, the journalist is sitting there, and she goes, I really love, my favorite one of all your songs is Royals. What's that about? And then Charlie XCX goes, you know, it's about me growing up in New Zealand and not really feeling like I fit in and like all the wealth and privilege. And the journalist just carries on.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's like objectively the wrong opinion to have as well. The Royals is your favorite Lord song.
I know.
I would turn that off if I heard it come on.
Me too.
Someone tweeted, I realize this is not the most important issue in British politics right now, but what dirt does Rishi Sunak have on the graphic design teams of major newspapers to get this sort of height-related glow-up? And in all of these things, there is a conspiracy to make him look taller than he is.
Mm.
No question. I've never...
Like Jon Snow and King Charles.
And King Charles. Why is everyone so short? I thought leaders were meant to be like abnormally tall, but Boris is a similar height to Rishi.
Well, they're all failures. That's why.
Liz Truss, I love like true diversity for women is a woman who is just completely overwhelmed and incapable of doing her job and has to leave in the same way a man can be useless.
Yeah.
A quality of uselessness.
Very embarrassing.
Apparently she gets forever like £120,000 a year just for being PM. So the joke's on all of us.
What?
Yeah.
Like breaking up with a rich husband and him paying you a monthly salary. That's my goal.
Yeah, alimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently for anyone who's like mildly curious, the reason it's been so chaotic in the UK is because Boris Johnson was outed and then Liz Truss came in and the first thing she did was a mini budget that like very top line cut the taxes for the rich heaps and then the banks were like, okay, fine, but how are you gonna pay for this? And she literally couldn't answer, so the pound like nosedived.
Yeah.
And the economy was the worst it had been in like years and years and years, and they just could never recover it, and she could never come up with a plan to fix it. And essentially,
well, they fired the Home Secretary who came up with the budget. So it's like his fault, but it's also her fault for signing it off because she's his boss. So they fired him within 6 days or something. And that was, he was like in LA, in the US, and everyone was like, are you going to get fired? Like, why are you being summoned back to the UK? And he was like, I'm here for the long haul. And then he got fired. And then, yeah, so they brought in the new one who literally came out and said everything about that budget was wrong and we're like completely changing it. So then everyone was like, we have no trust in Liz Truss.
Jado Liz. She's like probably the most Jado person that's ever existed.
Yeah. And so like because I was just like, that makes literally no sense, cutting the tax for the rich. And then my boyfriend was explaining it as the, there's like a word for what it is, but I've fully forgotten the tactic. And it's literally so that rich people pay less taxes, so they're more likely to invest more and start more businesses, which then trickle down economy.
I think is
which is so fucked up. So what you're getting, letting them out of taxes so that they can make all these new businesses and then maybe hire someone as like a fucking assistant, and that's how you think you're going to fix the economy.
That was like the big thing in the 80s, and I think the 80s the economy took off for different reasons, but everyone has acted like trickle down economics is a thing.
Yeah.
Zach talks about this a lot and he's like, and it's such a mistake. Rich people don't fucking spend their money.
Yeah.
It's like they're just 101.
But it's just, yeah.
Like Donald Trump didn't spend a dollar of his own money on his own campaign. Like truly wealthy people don't fork out their cash.
Yeah.
They fork out other people's money.
Okay. So on to Rex. You've got some highbrow, I've got some medium brow.
Yeah, I think they're
both highbrow. Yeah,
they're both medium.
Tell me.
So when I was in America, I went to the movies twice. My favorite thing is going to the movies alone.
Yeah.
The first time I went to The Grove and saw Tar.
Cute.
Which is a new Cate Blanchett movie. And she plays a like genius Berlin-based classical music composer. They've definitely based all her costumes on LaRoe. Like, her outfits are so gorgeous.
So chic. I've actually been told about this and already told about her outfits and her suits.
Her outfits and her suits. By
Hannah, other Hannah from Australia.
Nice.
Who saw it at Cannes.
Yes. Suits are amazing. The architecture's amazing. Like, she lives in this insane house. It's just so beautiful to look at. And basically, it's like a Me Too story. She gets like cancelled for propositioning her like young female students. And it's just such a, I really loved it. Like it, she is so amazing in it. And it's such an interesting, it takes such a, what's the word? Like a neutral position on it. So it doesn't feel like an annoying one way or another. Like it's not an anti-cancel culture thing and it's not a like woke thing. It just shows it exactly how it happens, like completely
like how messy distanced. It can be.
And yeah, and this woman kind of falling apart, and like just when you get to that point where I guess it's so much easier to empathize with women, which is bad, but I guess when you get to a point where you're that powerful where like no one ever tells you no, like it just it shows how her life is just constantly people telling her she's a genius, people telling her she's brilliant, she wants to change a tiny thing and like 200 people change everything to cater for her. And how in that situation you just become kind of a monster because you just think you're like a god and you can get away with anything.
Yeah. I feel like you can, I feel like I was literally thinking about this in hot yoga today when I was thinking about the Bikram guy and just how when people just give you too much power and it's, yeah, it's so easy to like exploit them and become an absolute creep.
Yeah, it's horrible. And then the other one I saw was Triangle of Sadness, which is, it won the Palme d'Or this year. And it's a Swedish filmmaker, I think, but it's like in English mainly. I did like it. I didn't love it. But I think I would love to like see it again with you because I feel like there's a lot of it that's really great that I feel like we would both really like together. It's really funny. And it's about a couple, the girl's a model, her boyfriend's a model as well, and they get invited on this super yacht with the mega wealthy. And, like, it's this class commentary, but it, I don't want to give too much away, but it gets insane. But it opens with this 10-minute scene of them at a restaurant and she's expecting him to get the check and they have this, like, long fight about why he should keep getting, like, paying for dinners when she's a female model so she earns more money than him. Ooh. And it's, like, it's really funny and clever. It kind of goes a bit off the rails by the end. But it's so sad because the lead actress in it, who is, like, absolutely beautiful, she's a model, acting in her first role, got, like, so much hype around it because of how amazing she is in it. And she fucking died, like, 2 weeks after it showed at Cannes.
Oh my god.
She's got like a freak lung infection. Oh my god. Like perfectly healthy. Freaks me out so much.
I know, same. I'm like, I can't even talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. I just hate thinking about it. And wow. Watching it whenever I remembered, I was like, oh, I just feel horrible. But two good movies to see.
Yes. I have an old recommendation, but I feel like quite a few people wouldn't have seen it. It's also kind of funny to be recommending it now because she's like on her anti-vax mission, but I don't care. MIA's documentary, I think it came out in 2016, maybe. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's just really, really interesting. It just goes into her whole backstory. So, like, the thing with MIA is she's big, and everyone knows who she is, but the reason she's not so much bigger is because the media completely targeted her and cancelled her because she wouldn't stop speaking out about the civil war in Sri Lanka.
Right.
So yeah. She's Tamil.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad was one of the founders of the Tamil Tigers, which is fucking crazy. So they are labelled by the Sinhalese government in Sri Lanka as terrorists because basically, a quick like history lesson, basically the Tamil people were brought over to Sri Lanka by the British when they'd colonised as workers, so it's like literally the UK's fault, of course, that this whole thing started. And then the Sinhalese government treated the Tamil people, once they got independence, as like second-class citizens and were just like really horrible to them. They had no rights and everything like that. So the Tamil people resisted and like the civil war broke out. And her dad was one of the founding, was like the founder of the resistance movement.
I didn't know any of this. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so she's, and then so they fled Sri Lanka. Her mum and her siblings fled Sri Lanka as refugees and came to London as refugees when she was 10, and her dad stayed back in Sri Lanka fighting. And then MIA started studying. She studied at Central St. Martin's.
Wow.
Fucking chic. She wanted to be a documentary filmmaker, and she was the only person of color in like the whole university basically. And so she started making films and recording herself from a really young age. So all of this footage is stuff that she's recorded of herself from age like 14.
Wow.
It's really great. And it goes through her journey of like making film, and then she as her graduate project, wants to go back to Sri Lanka and reconnect with her family and learn all about the war there. So heaps of the footage is from there, and it's like really intense, and her cousin goes missing and they like never find them.
God.
And then she meets this really cool kind of punk, I can't remember the woman's name, but she's like in a famous band in London, and they start making music, and that's how she went on to make music. And then she was obviously dating Diplo for like 5 years, and he was like her first albums, he kind of produced them all. But it just, yeah, it goes into like her backstory, and it talks heaps about Sri Lanka and the war there and how much that's impacted, because all of her, basically she refused to be palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And in America especially, she'd go on talk shows. And so she made all these music videos that were like showing the war. But like basically she one of her music videos is like all of these redheads getting killed. And it's like showing like how the Sinhalese government were treating the Tamil people. Mm. And then, but because the Tamil people are obviously like bombing and they're resisting. So like people, the government's framing them as like terrorists and stuff. So then like the media started calling MIA terrorist. And that's why she basically got shut down. Like they stopped playing her music. The New York Times did this huge feature on her saying that she should like stick to what she knows, which is music, when she was literally a refugee and then spent all these years in Sri Lanka. It's just, it's yeah, really interesting.
Wow. I literally didn't know any of that. Yeah. I didn't even know she'd been like recast by the media in that way.
Yeah. So, and then, and she still like has always refused to do what they say and refused to shut up. Her music still today like talks so much about Sri Lanka and like her history. It's super interesting. But yeah, she's like now anti-vax, and she's like a born again Christian because she said she saw Jesus. But she's like
Swedish Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. But she's just very, very smart. And then also this other iconic thing about her is Madonna. She's in one of Madonna's music videos with Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Right.
And Madonna performed at the Super Bowl and got Nicki Minaj and MIA to come on stage, and MIA just flipped off the camera on the Super Bowl, which is like very, bad because America is so Christian, and like that's a family performance. And when J-Lo was on the pole dancing pole.
Yeah.
When J-Lo was on the pole, won the pole dancing pole, there was like huge uproar. And then so MIA like flips off the camera, and then you cut to backstage because she films everything. It's so great. So you cut to backstage, and then someone was like, why did you do that? She was like, I don't know, like she was just kind of like just felt it in the moment. And then these guys in suits come backstage and they're like, we need to talk to you about this. And then they were like being really kind of like angry and aggressive. And then her stylist was like, she's still getting changed, can you just like give us a minute, just can you just get out of here for a minute? And then they boosted out the back and like ran away. And then they tried to fine her $17 million for doing that.
Oh my god, it's
like shit like that she's just gotten in like so much trouble for being a like for just being a badass basically. Yeah.
$17 million, that yeah. is too much.
She was like, I just released a song called Bad Girls, I don't give a shit.
Wow, she's so talented. That's so interesting. I would love to watch that sounds amazing.
So yeah, she just released her new album, and in really exciting, crazy news, I'm seeing her tomorrow in a private party
of
200 people.
Special, you have to talk to
her. So special.
You have to say, I know all about you and all about the fine.
She'll be like, shut up.
I heard about the fine and I'm sorry.
But yeah, and then she like got all the shit as well because she ended up getting with this billionaire guy. But I was like, who cares? That's amazing.
Congrats to the hun.
I know.
A class trader.
Yeah. And she like dumped Diplo's ass, which I love.
Yeah, I didn't know about her and Diplo.
Well, she dated Diplo like before he was, basically before he was even famous. He was disgusting.
He has such bad vibes. Yeah, yes. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't even know like a single song he sings, even though I know he's like famous.
Major Lazer's very good. His group.
Oh, is Major Lazer his group? Yeah. Okay, I've seen Diplo live.
Yes, yeah,
Major unfortunately.
Lazer is so good. But like heaps of her music still sounds like that. Like heaps of her music is so like good.
He's
to dance
like nearly
to.
Sexy. He's nearly.
So she did an interview. This is what makes her so iconic. She did an interview like last year, and she was literally like, yeah, when I got signed to Interscope, like when she signed to a major label, Diplo went crazy and was like throwing cheers. She said this like last year, like nobody asked, throwing cheers around the room and like going crazy. And then she was like, yeah, he said at the time that I was being a sellout, but in reality, he just couldn't wait to like become best friends with Taylor Swift and fuck Katy Perry. She's, and then Diplo like said last year, he was like, everything she said was true.
Oh, love.
He's like such a cuck to her. So yeah, anyway.
Wow, very interesting.
So I'm a massive fan now.
Yeah, she sounds amazing. Let's get her on the POD.
She'll be like, no.
N-O. Okay, wait, should we top up before we, yes. I might need it before yes. our next topic? Nah, it's fine.
What?
As in, I do want another drink. I'm like, making it out like I hate talking about Taylor Swift. I don't mind.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, fresh palomas in hand.
We're back.
We're back.
Back to talk about a silly topic. You just can't, okay, got to give it to Swiftie. You just can't escape her. When she releases an album, I could not walk anywhere in America where there was not like a poster or a billboard or it was playing or mm-hmm. someone was talking about it. Couldn't open my phone without it. Like you just can't. I was playing in the coffee shop this morning.
It's, yeah.
You can't, it's like Adele. You just cannot escape Taylor Swift.
Yeah. So
try as you might.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift has released a new album called Midnight. I don't know. At first, we weren't even going to speak about... Well, I was just like, I don't know if we can be fucked speaking about this, but she's an interesting person to talk about because for a lot of different reasons. The chokehold she has on her fans and the way she... I think when we're talking about celebrities as a brand, she's like the most perfect example of it. Mm-hmm. So much so that she's like... She's kind of gone beyond that even. Like, she, like, kind of makes fun of the brand of her mm-hmm. brand. Like, to the point where you're like, I don't even understand, like, what's parody and what's real at this point.
Yes.
But
that's so true. Now you're saying it, I'm, like, thinking in real time. I think that is my... I don't have a problem with her. Like, I think she's, like, she's just not for grace. Like, she's yeah. not designed for me. Like...
I mean, I feel like she is designed for, like, pretty white girls, but we've managed to, like, avoid.
It was, like, I remember talking to someone and they were, like, look, Madonna can appreciate her, but she's, like, not for me. And I was, like, okay, Madonna is for Grace yes. and Taylor Swift is, like, not for Grace.
Yeah.
Just like Beyonce is not for Grace. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it now we're talking is that I think... just saw Moon Age Daydream recently, which is a documentary about David Bowie, and it like crosses all his eras. And he was like a major pop star, bit of a sellout, reinvented his image all the time. But there was something like quite authentic and like at its core being an artist about it. And with Taylor Swift, it feels so branded. It feels like she's like Pepsi or mm-hmm. the Hilton. Like she's a shiny brand, Disney. Like she's like a brand, and the music is just this palatable product that the brand produces yeah. is how I personally feel. Yeah.
No, totally. The way she like, the way she, yeah, integrates her work and her public image and her marketing campaigns and just everything all together and then sells it back to us, but then somehow still sells it back in a way that like creates this crazy fandom around it. Is mm-hmm. that's what's kind of almost the weird part about it. She's so clearly selling you this false thing that everyone knows is like completely orchestrated. Like nothing is natural, nothing comes easy. Like someone, I was reading all these comments, I got lost in like the comments, and someone was just like, my problem with Taylor Swift is that she just kind of just, she's so serious in a way that like she just has no sense of humor. There's nothing that's, and that's because everything is manufactured. Like there's mm-hmm. no room for like a joke, or there's no room for kind of just being real, or like,
yes,
you know, or being candid, or kind of just everything is thought out.
Yeah, it feels like a focus group has like sat down and been like, okay, like feminism is a thing right now, let's like sit down and come up with like a 6-prong strategy for you to tap into it but not really tap into it, and we'll like test it against an audience and blah blah blah.
Which is why the video for Anti-Hero is more problematic than your average person. So basically she released this video. I only watched it for the first time last night. I hadn't seen it, but I tried to listen. What do you think of her album, firstly?
I honestly haven't properly listened to it. I've listened to like the songs that have music videos.
Yeah.
They're just fine. It's just how I always feel about her. I think she does like a really great catchy pop song. Like I think the fact she's been continuing to do it for like 10 plus years is extremely impressive.
Mm. And she releases music so often. I feel like she's always releasing new music. She just never stops with the albums. Didn't she release like 2 during COVID, or
yeah.
2 or 3, and then
yeah,
this is the
like
next
back
one.
To back ones. I really admire.
I really liked one of her COVID ones, to be honest.
Folklore.
Yeah. That was,
no, I'm down. I feel like I would like it if I gave it a listen. Yeah. I don't think her music is offensive or bad.
I didn't like what I've heard of this. I tried to put it on this gorgeous little walk along the canals in London. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this garbage? It was like making me feel embarrassed of myself to have it on. But I think that is kind of Taylor Swift's vibe.
All I can think of is, like, I unironically loved Shake It Off. I was like, this is a banger.
Mm.
But I think that's the only...
I like quite a few, but I haven't liked anything from this yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, Anti-Hero came out and Taylor Swift directed the music video, which she like...
Okay, let's just quickly discuss, like, what is it with pop stars, like, wanting to direct?
But I guess you have in your brain, you write, it's like us writing a book and then wanting it to be portrayed in the right way on screen.
I feel like it's different, though, because I'm like, if we write books and they're amazing books, it's like us saying, I want to write the soundtrack to the score for the movie. Like, I'm like, it's such a different... Writing music and directing some, I get that you can just do it, but I'm like, they're not super aligned.
Yeah.
Skill sets.
Also, you can just say, this is my vision.
You get a very, very talented person to do it. Like this music video it felt like it was directed by Taylor Swift.
Yes.
So, like it was a bit.
The YouTube comments, they're all such stands. It's crazy. They were just like, people thank are like, you so much. This is so brilliant. This is the best song, the best video, the best this.
Or people are like, we are so lucky to have an artist like Taylor Swift in our generation, like turning blah, blah, blah. Like, this is what makes me laugh. Like, I always bring up that thing in Miss Americana where they like,
I
very
knew you were going to say this.
Earnestly, like, Taylor writes all her own lyrics and then it like cuts to her song and it's like, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put me back together again. And I'm like, A, was that the best line we could have used there? But like, B, I'm like, she's not like fucking Leonard Cohen. Like, I'm like, I get that she's a good pop star, but her fans act like she's fucking the second coming of Mozart. It's crazy.
Yeah.
She never disappoints, exclamation mark.
I know.
81,000 likes.
Yeah. So the song.
Okay, hum it.
Hum it.
I can't hum it. Like, I can't remember how it goes.
I can't remember how it goes.
It's the hum test.
I've got Shake It Off in my head.
Same.
But what does the hum test mean?
The hum test is like if you listen to a song like once or twice and then like afterwards you're like, no, it's that one that goes like da 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 da. Like, you can remember the tune.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Like, I can't hum
Anti-Hero. I can't even remember it.
I can't remember it.
But
yeah.
She on Twitter described the video as depicting my nightmare scenarios and intrusive thoughts. So, and in the video, it shows her imagined adult children. I liked that part of the video.
Where she's like a...
It showed her imagined adult children fight about their inheritance at her funeral.
Same. And it had our boy in it. John Early from Search Party.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Aww. He was busy with the Pooh girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love. Yeah, so that was, I liked that bit. So the music cut out and it showed that she'd died and then they were reading out her will hoping to get money. And then
I also liked when she was that giant.
Yes.
At the dinner party, because like we've all.
Yes.
Maybe I am a secret Swiftie at heart. I'm like, we've all felt like just a big beast.
Yeah. As in like taking up too much space and talking too much. Yeah,
too loud or annoying.
I feel like that all the time.
No.
All the time. I always leave social interactions now and I'm like, did you ask enough questions? Did you let that person talk?
Same.
And I just feel like
my anxiety is like a fucking bucket list of all the times I was embarrassing at like dinner.
Yeah. Screeching. Yeah, and then the last bit is her stepping on a scale that says fat in capital letters.
I wasn't aware of, like, the backlash when I watched this, and I was, like, a bit taken aback. Also, I really don't mean to, like, foot shame on the podcast, but I, like, can't believe those are her feet. I would have got a foot model in.
There's, like, a photo of her feet. Above all, are these her feet? I can't.
I can't.
They like, look...
They're just, like, cute little, like, normie feet. Like, they're... I don't know.
They're not nice feet.
Don't you think? I mean, she micromanages everything, and she's like, yep, pop these in. They're, like, aqua blue pedicure.
Yeah.
But the... Yeah, so I saw the fat thing, and I was like, oh, that was, like, jarring.
It looks like her little toe's missing the nail polish.
I feel like that's what mine look like.
I don't like looking at feet.
I thought you did. That's only why I wanted nice to feet. Put it. Yeah, I thought you were as a connoisseur of celebrity feet.
Yeah, bad feet. They're just kind of, they're quite childlike. They're not sexy. I mean, I'm not one to talk, but.
Doesn't have bunions is the one thing. She doesn't have
bunions because she's privileged and rich.
Wait, did we talk about the TikTok you found of Meghan Markle getting her bunions surgically removed? We need to.
I don't know if we said it on the main pod, but.
We need to out her.
Yeah. Meghan Markle got her bunions surgically removed. She's a not traitor. Part of the movement. I really need to start my celebrity bunion Instagram account. I'm going to out Meghan Markle. She has a full scar now on the side of her foot from getting her bunions removed.
I kind of like mine. I'm like a little attached. I like
mine too.
Yeah. Yeah. The bunion positivity. That's what I mean. Movement. Yeah.
I like seeing people with bunions too. Seeing like celebrities with bunions.
Who had like a whopper? Gigi Hadid.
She has bunions. They're not huge.
There were some ones we screenshotted and they were like wild.
Well, you were sending me ones from the runway.
Yeah. Yeah, those poor models, they've got to shove their beautiful 42s into these like tiny shoes.
Which I used to do when I was little because I didn't want to have such big feet.
Same.
And now I wear big, like I wear shoes too big for me now because I love it. I bought these Adidas sneakers and they're a full size bigger than my like fake, bigger than the size that I usually would pretend I wasn't. So like two sizes bigger than what I would wear.
Wow.
And I wear them all the time. They're so comfy.
That's so positive. Yeah, I still have a bit of a, if I see a 42 when I'm searching for shoes, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah, that's what these are. Very comfy.
Yeah, I'm being a self-hating, big-footed woman. So the scale... But the fat thing is like crazy because of the context, obviously, which is like all of her nightmare scenarios playing out.
Yeah.
And I think it's the use of the word. I think like the backlash is pretty obvious. Like it's like the use of the word fat as a, what's the word? Pejorative, like as a inherently negative thing.
Yeah.
Which is how it's framed. Whereas I think people are doing a lot of work to like reclaim fat as just like an objective term that doesn't necessarily have like negative connotations. Like I think even like people don't love, there's a lot of debate about whether like plus size is like useful or patronizing or like curvy is just like a horrible word. Like it's, there's a lot of conversation about fat just being like a factual thing and it's not associated with negativity. It's so associated with like neutrality. And I think her doing this feels like a very rare miss.
Mm. And it's weird because as we just said, everything about her is so thought through that surely this went, I don't know, it's just one of those things that when you're like, when it comes out and you're like, how did this slip through the cracks? But, I mean, obviously her fans are saying that it's about her suffering from an eating disorder, which she's never said, said specifically what she suffered from, but she said on Miss Americana that she would see photos of herself and then like just not eat basically, and has kind of alluded to starving herself and having bad body image issues. And then she's doing this video that's like, and this video is about mental health.
Mm.
So she's based, so people are saying what she's saying in this video is like critiquing the way that women are made to feel that they can't be this way. Well, like, I don't know. Basically, people are sticking up for her and saying that she's not saying it's bad to be fat. She's saying it's bad that she thinks that way,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But I'm like, either way, it's still a white, blonde, thin woman standing on a scale and getting scared that it's saying that she's overweight when she's never has been. Like, even if Taylor Swift does have body image issues, she has never been in a fat body. Ever.
Yes. And this is I think this has always been my issue with her. She's like very navel gazy. Like she seems to see everything entirely through the realm of like her own experience, which we obviously do, but she doesn't seem to have much context. And this is why I went on like a rant probably like in the first episode of this podcast about her reaction to the Kanye West interrupting her on stage thing, which I totally get. She was like super young then. It's like too much to expect of her, but the fact that she can't like zoom out of her own experience of like not enjoying the embarrassment of being on stage and zoom out and say, I'm not just a person. I'm like a hugely influential public figure that represents X, Y, and Z. And I have to really think about things outside of my own experience.
Yeah.
And look at how they're affecting culture.
I feel outside of my own like whiteness and my privilege. And
yeah, I feel like she can be a little bit like tunnel vision-y just about.
She's very victim-y.
Yes.
Like woe is me.
Yes. Even with this, it's like, I think every single, this is the thing about like beauty standards. It's like every single woman, including like Victoria's Secret Angels, can relate to the feeling of feeling like they're not thin enough or like their bodies are being critiqued. Or like even if you're a top supermodel, your body gets photoshopped in magazines and that leaves you with body dysmorphia. Like I think everyone can understand that the beauty standard affects everyone. And even if you fit the beauty standard, you're not like totally free from self-loathing.
No, definitely not.
But at like 32 or whatever she is, to not be able to like zoom out of that and say, but I still get all of the, to most people in the world, I am the embodiment of the beauty standard. So even if I have these feelings, like maybe they're not super useful to share with my fans, or if they are, I need to be really careful about how I share it. Like, I think that's the error that she's made quite a few times.
Yeah. So there's a cut piece that this writer, Olivia Truefit Wong, wrote, and she basically just said that fat people don't need to have it reiterated again and again that it's everyone's worst nightmare to look like us.
Mm.
Which is just, it's just horrible.
Mm-hmm. I would feel like shit if I was like one of these hardcore 50 fans, which this girl, what's her name, Shira Rosenbluth, was tweeting about. And there was like a huge Twitter thread where she was like, I have been so excited for this album for so long. I'm mm-hmm. a huge Swift fan. I jump on to watch the first music video, which we've all been waiting like months and months for, and she's been teasing. And to like see that, it just makes your like stomach drop and you feel like terrible. And I just think that that's...
Yeah, it's so horrible.
Yeah. And I do think there's an interesting... I don't even know if it's interesting. There is a conversation to be had about how body standards can trick us all into thinking a certain way about our bodies, even if our bodies are super like normative. But yeah, I don't know. A swing and a miss from Taylor.
Yes.
A learning opportunity.
But yeah, it's also that thing where, yeah, so this cut writer said, of course Swift can talk about her body issues, but as a fat person who's been called fat for a majority of my life, it's hard to recall a time Swift has ever championed body diversity. Mm. That one dancer in You Need to Calm Down video doesn't count. I don't doubt that Swift has been hurt by society's anti-fatness and glamorization of extreme thinness, but when has she actively combated it? Swift stands actively fat-shaming women who have critiqued the anti-hero video now. Has she done anything to temper their anger? And then there's your thing. Above all, are those her feet? I can't. Right underneath.
I know. And I just, whenever I think about Taylor Swift, and again, it's like she can't be a brand when it suits her and then a person when it suits her, which I think is the thing that she's done. Like if you're going to take on the mantle of being a multi-million, probably billion-dollar brand, you've got to be critiqued in the same way like a Pepsi or a Apple or a Disney would be if they did something like this. And the thing I most associate with Taylor Swift visually when I think about her is like the Bad Blood video, or the on stage with all of her squad, and every single person, like give or take, pretty much every single person was tall, extremely thin, extremely young, either a supermodel, pretty much.
They were all supermodels.
A supermodel, like, or she got Serena Blake Williams. Lively. Yeah. Oh. And then there's that horrible image of like all of them lined up together, 6'4", and then like Lena Dunham on the end at like 5'2". Like it's that whole image is something that she... It's like she has self-loathing about her own body image, but then surrounds herself only with like traditionally beautiful people to get that proximity. And it's like if you're worshipping at that, then you're kind of continuing the problem.
Yes.
But I get it's hard because like we're all just people at the end of the day. And like if you're in the entertainment industry, you obviously would feel that pressure, but maybe just like deal with it with your therapist.
Yeah, I'm really glad she's... seems, I mean, this is such a back step and such a weird thing to do, but I'm really glad she seems to come out of the other side of that, because she was really, really thin mm-hmm. for a while, like worryingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of, yeah, says that in Miss Americana, and I'm glad she seems to be like happier and not focused on that. But yeah, this is really weird to do that.
I wonder if she'll come out about it. She probably won't, I don't imagine.
Yeah.
It's not really her style.
Anyway, should we move on to the
biggest news of the week?
The sample sale?
The Ro had a sample sale. I honestly think if I knew, I might have literally flown to New York to go.
You wouldn't have, because you would know that, you know how sample sales work, and you know that, like, this is the fucked thing about sample sales. The fucked thing about the industry is mm-hmm. the day before, 2 days before mm-hmm. that sale opens to the public, they open it to the industry, fashion editors, mm-hmm. friends, like friends and family. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, those fucking fashion editors, you know, the friends and family are taking like everything. They're like clearing the place out. And then so it's like the first day of the sale, the first morning, is like when all the gyms go, because they've already been picked over.
I completely agree. Having said that, who, the people that Cut interviewed for this story about, wait, did we even talk about
what no. this is? No.
The Row had their first ever.
No, it's not their first ever.
Really?
No. Someone said that they went, I was in the comments again. Someone said they went last time and it wasn't that crazy. But they had a sample sale.
They had a sample sale, and the wait was 5 hours. And inside, and they took a photo, which I love. And inside, apparently, understandably, people acted like wild, disgusting animals.
Yeah.
Which is another reason I hate sample sales.
Same. I'd rather just stress that my heart is thumping out of my chest. Yeah. And like, you turn crazy.
It's like a woman's version stressful. Of, like, having to kill someone for food or something. Like, something really animalistic yeah. comes out of your body.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it sounds like people got some really good shit. So, what I loved about this is the guard who, like, allowed people in and out. It was at Metropolitan Pavilion, an event space known as the home of sample sales. Presiding over the scene was an intimidating man in a dark suit, sunglasses, and an earpiece wire dangling down the back of his neck. A Gandalf of glamour letting a lucky handful of people trickle in at a time. The line that stemmed behind him was at least 5 people wide, taking up the entirety of the already gracious sidewalk. Okay. But there was like there's always like an evil man that's overlooking these dumb fashion bitches, us included.
Yes.
To keep us in check because we don't respect women.
Yeah. And it says, this girl says, the Rose customers exhibited sleek and low ponytails, long and neutral trench coats, polished vintage loafers, expensive looking mules, delicate ballet flats, rich looking knits, and a plethora of dissociative looks exuding the attitude of, if you know, you know.
It is a kind of irony, like the Row is so at odds with like this vibe of like lining up for a bargain that it's like kind of iconic.
And also someone was saying, I can't remember if this was in the comments or if this girl who went to it for the Cut interviewed them, but she was just saying that like yeah, I think this is where I saw that they'd had a previous one, because she said nothing has ever been crazy like this before, and it's because of TikTok, like you say, TikTok ruining everything. So this girl on TikTok got a leather jacket originally $3,490 for $680. That is such a bargain.
Wow.
A black tube top, which I would not have bought for originally $590.
I know the one. Do you remember I bought it when we were, I bought it when we were in Paris and it didn't zip up?
Oh my God, that is a chic tube top. Yeah. I thought she meant just like a...
And I ate a burrito and then I couldn't zip it up. And then I was like, I've been a naughty girl. And you're like, yes, you have. Zipping me up. Because I couldn't get it.
That's right.
Could not physically get it on my body.
Did you pay $590 for that?
I had a discount, but yeah. I returned it because it didn't...
Do up.
Didn't do up. 118. I would fucking cut off my finger for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. These discounts are crazy. Black trousers, originally $790, purchased for $158. Like, it's like...
$158, baby.
Telling people off for waiting 5 hours for bargains like this is nothing. People in the comments as well on the cart were being really great and gracious and being like, waiting 5 hours to get that much money off clothes if you really love a brand is nothing. David Beckham waited how long to see the dead queen?
Yeah, the
days.
The queue was like 32 hours of all, yes.
You know what I mean? I'm like, dead monarch.
$158 black trousers.
Yes.
These are brand new.
This is my favorite part is, oh, I keep losing everything on this stupid article. My favorite part is where she goes, outside, I approached a sharply dressed man named Ronald, 81. Asked if he'd been a fan of The Row for a while, to which he replied, a row? Yes, I said he was in line for The Row sample sale. I think I might be in the wrong line, he replied and walked away.
I love Ronald.
I know.
This is proper journalism.
So also, yeah, I know, these are the articles I want to move to New York City to write. So, yeah, so someone said, I don't understand this. The road had many sample sales there in the past and the line was never this long. I've walked in with zero lines. If you're 5 hours back, the stock is either going to be picked over and not worth the wait, or the staff is restocking, which means it's smarter to come back another day. Yes. Yeah, 80% is a good deal. 5 hour wait is worth it if this is a brand you love. Agreed. But then someone else said, which I wrote in our doc, do the people who can afford the row actually wait in line for 5 hours? No. The writer said, or someone said, a lot of people were using line concierges. They were paying people to line up for them.
I love that idea.
I love that so much.
The super, we are like cold, hard, hideous, capitalist pigs at heart. Because if I had the funds, baby.
Well, of course. My friend did it the other day in Paris. She literally sent her assistant to go to the outlet shops because we need to go.
Yeah.
There's outlet shops like an hour out of Paris where there's like everything for half price.
Unfortunately, I have seen this on TikTok, which makes me angry.
She sent her assistant and her assistant just video called her and walked around the shop. And she said everything she wanted. I mean, that only works if you're rich enough to like...
And also, it doesn't feel like exploitative, because if I could get paid to wait in line for the row samples, I'd prefer to do that than probably like 90% of other things, same, including my current job.
Same. Because you get to shop as well if you have the money.
I think as well, I honestly lay a chunk of the blame at Kendall Jenner's door.
Yeah.
For this. I think her wearing that all white ensemble did like bad things for The Row.
I agree.
Because it made everyone aware of it.
I do also think brands like The Row only really suit a very specific body type.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm having like a Taylor Swift moment where I'm just like, I feel good in The Row. And then I'm like, oh, I'm like a thin.
Yeah. I mean, you can. White woman. They do have like. Yeah, I mean, The Row is better than a lot of brands in terms of, like, the way their stuff isn't, their stuff isn't, like, Nancy DeJarka type cutouts and shit.
That's what I find, like,
it's
the like, new
it's
vibe.
Oversized and, but it's made to look baggy. It's made to look, like, oversized and baggy on you.
Yes.
So, I'm sure you can find pieces that work for different body shapes, but it's, like, it works if you're, like, a stick and then it looks really baggy on you and you look homeless but rich.
The Olsen twins, honestly, like, I just saw in my Instagram feed like 100 pictures of Ashley Olsen just going to work, and they just, I feel like they are the embodiment of like spending your unearned millions correctly. They always just look so fucking good. And they've like launched this brand and they actually work, and it's probably, it's like the top three best brands in the world, which is insane.
Yeah.
Proud of them.
It's what Victoria Beckham wishes.
Yeah, like
Victoria Beckham was.
100%. And also, I'm not surprised. I think people who buy the Roro would go to the sample sale, because for me, as a fan, all the stuff I have of theirs is either bought secondhand from like Vestiaire or the Real Real, a lot cheaper than retail price, or in sales, or like one pair of shoes with a work discount.
Mm.
You know? So I think a huge amount of their fan base would be. I don't think there's that many. I know there are, but I don't think there's that many people in the world that can go buy like a $3,000 jumper.
Yeah.
They exist, obviously. Yes. But I don't.
Yeah, but yeah. A lot of like the fashion girlies who wear the Row.
Yeah. I don't think they're going in and dropping full price.
No.
Shit.
Remember when I found another
charity
shop find? We went into the Oxfam. We're not going to be gatekeepers here. The Oxfam Westbourne Grove, Notting Hill. Walked in and I was like, Grace, and turned around and they were the Row little, what are they?
Loafers,
I guess. Little loafers. Yeah. For how much? 60 quid.
Yeah.
They were 60 quid.
And they're like brand new.
And they were brand new and they were retailing still on the website for 790 quid. It was really random. And they were my size / our size, but Grace already owned them.
I think I was wearing them.
And was wearing them in the shop, the exact shoes. Do you still have them? Did you sell them?
I like battered them to an actual pulp and I literally had to throw them away.
Oh, you can have mine if you want. I never wear them. You can.
Aww.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Robe Loafers. Oh my God,
a gorgeous tale. Wait, I have to tell you quickly. I went to the Real Real in LA. And everything's like out of control expensive. When did that happen?
So expensive.
It's meant to be like a cheap and cheerful place.
I think it's in the shop. The shop's crazy.
Right.
I went in there once and was like, there was shit that there was. Is it thing where you're standing in the shop and you're like, I know.
Yes.
That this online is cheaper full price than it is in your fucking secondhand shop.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a pair of the Row loafers, like different to those ones, but like a similar era, like similar year. And I picked them up and I was like, oh, these are cute. They're like my size. And they were $860. I was like, are you guys literally joking? These are worn 2017 shoes.
Yes.
And yeah, costing like more my than
ones
brand new.
Like the same era as the ones I got for 60 quid from an Oxfam.
Yeah.
Which is mental.
But and those were brand new. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know that's mental, but I'm.
There's an
in-between. What are they literally thinking?
I know.
Do they not want people to buy the stuff?
Oh, but do you know what's exciting about when I move to LA?
What?
Is that you'll be able to ship stuff to me.
Okay.
Because
I actually already have something I need to
do. Oh my God, Christ. I don't even live there yet.
I bought the stupidest thing.
Okay, tell me.
I actually just saw in your bathroom.
What?
I bought a marble soap dish.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same one.
Yes.
Shaming
no,
you.
No, no. Amar's like got obsessed with soap dishes recently. He bought three.
What is up with that?
There's three. There's one upstairs, two down here. I was like, you need to stop. That was when the courier kept coming that day. And you were like, what are all these couriers about?
Oh my God, I wish I knew. So I ordered a marble soap dish and a soap. And it was meant to come while I was there. And it got like delayed. So it hasn't come. So it's going to be sitting at the hotel. And I mean, I don't even know if they'll keep it till you move now.
We can get someone to pick it up.
Yeah.
Definitely.
A horrible and stupid errand. Get my
Tat's got assistance.
We won't tell her what it is.
Yeah.
We'll say it's
what a silly
life-saving documents.
How much was it as well? Because
yeah, it was
cheap on eBay.
It was like, I don't know, it was like a certain I'll tell you what it's called to not be gatekeeping. It was called Binu Binu. And they're really cute and I just found them on Instagram and they were like, I think they're like, it was like $100. For the nice soap and the thing. And it was just, I just loved it. I was like, it's perfect. It'll come while I'm there.
So what is going to be really good about my LA location is you being able to ship the Real stuff to my house.
Yeah.
Everything from the Real, ship it all over. And then I can send you it in one lot or like just bring it over when I come over.
You don't know what you've signed up for.
No, it's fine. I mean, Amar's like doing the exact same thing. I haven't even moved yet. And he's like, I'm going to send you all this Telfar shit. I was like, fuck off. Such a like
America is just, it is just better.
It's land of the
land of the free, land of rich. The yeah, it's
the land of the shops.
It's interesting what's, I guess there's just so many people. Like, they just have so much shit on the Real Real. It's crazy.
I know. I feel like I'm going to buy so much. I never shop on the Real Real here because it's a nightmare.
It's the shipping plus the import tax is the thing that kills you.
Yeah. Okay, we need to actually stop recording.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Love you lots.
Love you. Love you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.